Greetings, dear friends, in the Savior's worthy name. I'd like to share with you a little story today that will illustrate some of the things we'll be speaking about. There was a barefooted minister who was speaking to his barefooted congregation in one of the countries of Africa. His subject that day was heaven, and he was trying desperately to make his people appreciate the prospect of a home in such a blissful land, knowing, as he did, the many unpleasant things in the lot of these humble folks. He majored on the things that are not in heaven. As he came to a climax, he said, "And there will be no thorns up there." Instinctively, the people all glanced down at their unprotected bare feet, which had known so many cruel thorns, so many treacherous wounds, and then they turned back to the preacher with a better interest than ever before. They heard heaven mentioned in terms they could understand and appreciate. On the other hand, the tired housekeeper murmurs, "There'll be no scrubbing up there." The weary farmer looks from his toil and says, "There'll be no grubbing up there." The defeated candidate sighs. He says, "There'll be no snubbing up there." Indeed, who is there that does not find his own special thorn in the full list of heaven's amenities? No sorrow, no tears, no sickness, no dying, no sin, no sighing, no slander, no more sea. What is there, friend, that makes your lot less pleasant? We can assure you it will be in heaven. Not at all. No wonder they can leave the gates of heaven open by day and open by night, and yet no one ever goes out. Friend of mine, today I want to ask you, are you sure that through the sovereign grace of God, through the precious blood that was shed at Calvary, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him, acknowledging your sin and guilt, throwing yourself by faith at his feet, asking for his mercy, his grace, his love? Friend of mine, he promises to cleanse and make new creatures out of all that will trust him, out of all that will, like one of old, say, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And then someday, you'll be among those redeemed by his blood, singing eternally unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins. Please join me in prayer. Our God, we thank you for the prospects of a heaven with no thorns. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each listener who can say yes upon the authority of the Bible, God's Word. "I know in whom I have believed, and I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that I have eternal life." Praise God for all such listeners. Father, we pray because there are some listeners who are still outside of Christ, still strangers to his grace and love, still uncleansed and unprotected by the blood that was shed at Calvary. For them we pray that as this broadcast proceeds, they'll be among those who will say, "Yes, Christ for me." May it be so, Father, as we ask it with thanksgiving in his worthy name alone. Amen. During our recent broadcast, we have been considering the various judgments of God. Now, there are those who tell you there's a general resurrection and a general judgment. And yet, if you have been listening to our last few broadcasts, you will have noticed with us that the Bible speaks specifically of several judgments. And we have been asking four questions about these judgments. And just for a brief review, or for those who haven't heard the last few broadcasts, here are the four questions and some of the judgments that we have been considering. When you read about a judgment, ask this question: who will be affected? Where will this judgment take place, or where did it take place? When, and what are the results of that particular judgment? Now, the first judgment that we considered was the judgment of sin as it relates to believers. Who was affected? Well, we saw that all true believers, that is, all who are really Christians, were affected, and also the Lord Jesus Christ was affected. Where did it take place? Well, this is in the past tense. It took place at Calvary, Gethsemane, Golgotha. It took place approximately A.D. 33. What were the results? Christ died for our sins, yours and mine, according to the Scripture. And also a result is that eternal life is available today for all who will trust the Savior, for whosoever will, because of the one who died at Calvary. That was judgment number one. The second judgment we considered is judgment of sin in the believer. First was judgment of sin as it related to the believer. Now judgment of sin in the believer. And this affects Christians and Christians only. Where can it take place? Anywhere. Wherever a Christian might be, when God deals with him whom he loves, he chastens, he spanks, he deals with them according to his own wisdom and knowledge. It can take place any time, and the result is chastisement by the Lord if we would not judge ourselves. And then the last judgment that we considered, and that time ran out on our last broadcast, as it always does, but it was the judgment of believers' life, or, as it is called, the judgment seat of Christ. This is the place where the believer's life is judged and rewarded. It is a judgment upon his conduct and works, the judgment seat of Christ. Again, this judgment relates to believers and to believers only. It will take place in the air when the Lord Jesus returns for his church. It will take place, that's when and where, in the air, and when he returns, and the results. Please note this, and we will be reviewing this briefly and then moving on, hopefully. The results will be reward or loss. That is, some believers will receive rewards. Others will suffer loss, according to what we're going to read here from the Word of God. But the Scripture goes on to say that even though some will suffer loss, he himself shall be saved. Now, in order for you to read this, to understand it, I'm going to read first from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. You may want to jot these scripture verses down, study them for yourself. Be like the Berean Christians, take no man's word, take the word of God as your only source of authority. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15, we read, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, note carefully, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And then from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Remember now the four questions, the four tests we put to each one of these judgments. Who is he talking about? Well, obviously, Paul, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, was writing to Christians, to believers, in both of these letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And he was warning them that they were going to stand before God as Christians, not to find out whether or not they're saved, so that it could be determined whether or not they're going to heaven, but they're going to be judged there, their lives, their works, after their salvation experience began. They're going to be judged as concerning rewards or loss. He himself shall be saved. It's indeed a solemn thought that though Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and though God has entered into covenant with us to remember these sins no more, Hebrews 10:17, every work done by the Christian, done by the believer, must come into judgment. The life, the works of the believers must be reviewed by the Lord. We read from Romans 14:10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Note, beloved, in these verses, 1 and 2 Corinthians and Romans, we are referring to believers only, to those who are Christians indeed. For our aim is to please him, the Scripture says. We read of the words "we" and "brother" throughout these passages. In 1 Corinthians, it's every man's work, of what sort it is, and he shall receive a reward. And our God is looking for quality, of what sort, the character of our work, the character of our service, Unfortunately, some are doing what they call the Lord's work and their Christian service in the energy of the flesh. They're doing it for the applause and the appeasement of man. The scripture says, even though they'll be saved by fire, we might call it by the skin of our teeth, surely by the grace of God. Even though they'll be saved, they'll suffer loss. Beloved, make sure that our hearts are right, our motives are pure, and we are doing it as unto the Lord. And the scripture says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't do it in the name of the church, in the name of your religion, in the name of a denomination. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and do all things, the scripture says, for his glory. What about the time of this judgment seat of Christ? Matthew 16 says, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. From Luke 14, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. No general resurrection. He's talking specifically of the resurrection of the just. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. How comforting, how thrilling. In spite of our failures, in spite of our poor botch work, he is so leading and so working that he, by the grace of God, can find something in it for all of us to receive praise of God. Think about that. He says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Oh, beloved, we don't do a thing to get salvation. Jesus paid it all. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He was able to cry out in victory from the cross, it is finished. But after saving us by his grace, now he says, go out and serve me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise God, he saves us by his grace. And then he says, go out and serve me, and I'll give you, and I say this very reverently, I say it cautiously, fringe benefits. That's just so we can understand it, like the story of the thorns I used to illustrate the truth there in the beginning of the broadcast. Salvation is something Jesus paid for. It's something we receive as a gift from Almighty God. But once we're in Christ, once we're in the family, once we have been born again, he says, now you can go out and serve me, and I've got some rewards to give you. If you will, tell me what God could possibly do in our behalf beyond giving us the gift of salvation, which results in our being with him in heaven for all eternity. A place where there's no sin, nor sorrow, nor death, nor tears, nor pain, nor sickness, no injustice, hypocrisy, failure, no thorns. Only Christ and all that that implies. Eternal light, for Christ is the light of heaven, and he's there for all eternity. And beloved, beyond that, he is going to reward us. We don't have time to go specifically into all the crowns, but we read about the soul winner's crown, the crown of rejoicing, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, for one place. We read about the crown of righteousness for those looking for his appearing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read about the martyr's crown, the crown of glory, the incorruptible crown. These, beloved, are offered to those who are in Christ. But before you can work for a crown, you have to, by the grace of God, receive Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done that, do it today. My, how he'll bless you. Amen.